Today's daf in Masechet Yoma, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Yir HaKodesh, is daf Mem Gimel. So basically what we did over here is we started off, Ula started off yesterday, and he explained that the entire Seder of the complex dinim of the Parah are basically learned in a strange way. And we understand them to mean a mashma, and some of them are mashma memela. That was the last thing that we learned. And that meant that there's no really consistent approach in Parah to tell us a particular halacha about all of the dinim. Each one of the details of Parah actually depends on how we learned the previous detail. And therefore, depending on your original stance, the next pasuk oftentimes flips what was true before. And so it could flip it in opposite directions, depending on how you understand the original. And at times, it's just coming to tell me a halacha that stands on its own, and that's called mashma memela. So the last thing that we learned was about the difference between Rabbi Shimon and Zasitani Likra, and who's not. And now we're going to keep going on. We're on the third line now, and we're going to continue darshaning the pasuk that we began darshaning yesterday. So the next thing that we were up to, we're coming back now. We took a little break to understand the question about the nafkamina between darshina time of the kra, lo darshina time of the kra. And now we're going to continue in pasuk gimel. So pasuk gimel says, v'shachat ota. So what did ota mean? We said ota means that you have to shecht only the poraduna. You don't do anything else with it. You cannot shecht another parah together with it at the same time. And that's obviously possible if you have a long knife and you're going to do a shechita of two animals together, like the Gemara discusses in Tzvachim and in Shurim and Chulin. And then when it says lifanav, we already know what that means because we had that machlokas between Rav and Shmuel before. According to Rav, lifanav meant that Elazar himself has to do it. The only reason it says lefanav, which is mashma, that it's only in front of him but not done by him, is because it wants to stress that he has got to have his full concentration on the shechita, and therefore it's shelo yasiach daita mimeno. So according to Rav, the whole point is to avoid hesach hadas. Whereas according to Shmuel, remember, it was something very different. He understood that the idea was that you actually do not have to have Elazar to shecht. Daniel, please mute yourself. You did not actually have to have the shechita done by Elazar, but you need to do it in front of Elazar. So it's opposite approaches. Now, because of the opposite approaches in how to understand Lefanav, there's going to be, in any of the flips, are going to continue to flip along the same line. So they'll flip in opposite directions then. So the next pasuk, which is pasuk Dalit, continues on. And it says, V'lakach el azar ha-kohen midama be'etzba'o. So now what is the point of saying el azar? So according to, because we just said el azar. So according to Shmuel, dafka, the el azar that it said before, meant that it does not need to be el azar. It only needs to be in front of el azar. Whereas over here it says, V'lakach el azar. So according to Shmuel, it means it only is kosher if Elazar himself does the actual dam, the work with the dam of the Kabbalah and the Zrika. So that would be lahadure la Elazar. Masha Enkein, according to Rav, you can't say that because according to Rav, it was always in the hands of Elazar, right? And therefore, according to Rav, since Lefanav didn't mean that he doesn't need to do it, Lefanav means on the contrary, he needs to concentrate on doing it. So then when it says Elazar over here, it actually flips it in the opposite direction. Why? Because it's a miut achar miut. Since it already said Elazar before when it came to the Shechita, when it stresses Elazar, again, it's coming to tell me you don't need Elazar because ein miut achar miut ela l'rabot. And therefore, it's coming to tell me that you do not need Elazar, according to Rav, in the Avedas Adam, and even a regular Kohen is allowed to do the Avedas Adam. Now let's continue into the next pasuk. So you can see again how this is motzi miyad mashma, based on the previous pasuk, depending on how you learned the previous pasuk, the next pasuk is going to flip it over. And that's called mashma, motzi midei mashma. Now, I don't get it. Why does it say HaKohen? So here too, it depends. According to Shmuel, he holds that the pasuk before was Dafka Elazar. So when it says HaKohen, it's coming to tell me that you don't need Elazar. You can use any Kohen. So it's Afilu BeKohen Hedyot, because there's no reason to repeat the same thing. So therefore, this is a classic Mashma Motzi Mide Mashma. If you already told me Elazar, why are you telling me now HaKohen? Must be to tell me any Kohen and not Elazar. According to Rav, he holds that we had before already Dein Mid Achamid El Rabbi, so it was kosher already with a regular Kohen. So why does it say again the regular Kohen? So according to Rav, you still need to know that it's a Kohen, because Salkadai Tramina came in the Lav Guv of the Pora Ninu. Whatever it said, we already said that that's not considered to be part of the Gufa Shopara. So maybe on this, I wouldn't have needed a Kohen. Therefore, according to Rav, I need to know that I still need a Kohen even in this. So now that means that according to Rav, this Pasuk is a Mashma Memela Pasuk. Whereas according to Shmuel, this is a Mashma Motzi Mide Mashma Pasuk. Fine. Then we move on to Pasuk Zayin. V'chibes Begadav HaKohen. So what is that supposed to tell me? So that HaKohen teaches me that I need to have the Kohen wearing his begadim when he's doing all of these avodas in the Parah Adumah. Because remember, we understood before that the concept of the Parah Adumah as Kodshei Bet HaKabayit requires kohuna in the same way that, say, Mar'ot Nega'im requires kohuna, right? Now, you certainly don't need to wear big day kohuna for Mar'ot Nega'im. But the point over here is that we have a strange concept of something that goes between Chol and Kodesh, so in the level of the Mizbeach. So we treat it on certain levels as if it's a chatas karya rachmana, but in reality, it's not even Kodesh B'Kedushas Mizbeach. Therefore, I need the pasuk to come to tell me, no, but afa piken, you need to be wearing your big day kuna. So this is true according to everybody. And then it continues the pasuk, v'tomei ha-kohen ad ha-orev. So what it's mentioning again, v'chibes begadav ha-kohen, v'timei ha-kohen ad ha-orev, what's that coming to tell me? That comes to tell me that the concept of kohen b'kihuno, meaning that he requires his big day kuna, is true even the Doras, because remember, until now, we darshaned Ota Mizdavka, the first Pora, and that these halachas that have to do with Bidavka Adinin Elazar, and I would have thought Bidavka Adinin Big Dekuhuna is only true in Ota, in that first time that you make a Pora Aduma, but in future generations, not. Kamash Malan, even the Doras, I need Bikiuno. Wait, just one second over here. Remember that there's a machlokas about, as we said, what is the din at other times? Remember, we darshaned Ota means only the first one. Okay, and what's the din in the second one? So there we had a machlokas. So according to one man, the Omar, we said, the other ones have to be done by a Kohen Gadol. And we learned out chukah, remember, from Avodas Yom HaKippurim. But if you hold according to the man, the Omar, the other man, the Omar, who says, no, on the contrary, if you don't need Elazar, so then you can use any Kohen. He doesn't have the Gzereshav of Chuka. So according to him, I understand why I need to know that it's okay to do L'Doreis with your, I need a person to tell me that you can do it with a regular Kohen, but he needs to be wearing his big day kuna. But according to Mandi Omar, who says on the contrary, the Dorot is more Chomer than the original one. The original one, we allowed Elazar to do it. But in the Dereis that come afterwards, we need a Kohen Gadol to do it. So what do I need a Pasuk to tell me? Now what? I need to know that you need to wear your big dekuna. Obviously, in the Dereis, it's even more Chomer than it was in the first time. So if you told me once that the first time you need the kuna, big dekuna, so then obviously you need the big dekuna in the other times. Over there, you even need the Kohen Gadol. So what's the question? Hash the Kohen Gadol be'inan, bikiuna mi boy. If I need a Kohen Gadol, then obviously I need the minimum level that gives him the Kedushat Kohuna, which is the Begadim. Okay, I understand that that follows logically, but it still doesn't bother me why the Torah should say it, because in Milta de Atya Bekal V'Chomer, Torach V'Katav Lakro, we often find that even though maybe we could have figured something out, But the Torah is koyvea how our behavior should be al pi haTorah, not only al pi haSeichel that we have a right to darshan. Okay, then we go on to pasuk tet. V'yosaf ish tohar et efer hapara. And then somebody who's tahar. Now here it stresses an ish, okay? And it stresses a tahar. And then he has to be meniach et b'makom tahar. So why does it say ish? Okay, if it says ish, then that's telling me that this is not a kohen, meaning anybody can do this. Because if it didn't mean that, it should have simply said v'asaf tahar et efer haparam. We'd know we're talking about a kohen. Because the last thing we did, we needed to do it with a kohen. So if it says ishtar, it must mean even a zar. And then if it says ishtahar, well, obviously it was tahar, because we know from the fact, says Rashi, that it's called a chatas. Why wouldn't it require tahar? So if it's saying tahar, it's coming to be marabah, anyone who's tahar. And that would mean that it's kosher even the isha, as opposed to darshaning ish that way. So in that case, when it says vihiniach, vihiniach would therefore mean you need to have someone who has the awareness of what he's doing, meaning that he sets it down. Because, I mean, putting something down usually does not require us to be told that put it down. I mean, you put it down because that's where you leave it. So therefore, it's coming to tell me somebody who can actually be mechaving to be meniach. And that excludes a cheresh and a sheita and a katan, because that's not considered to be an act of hanocha, because it needs to be somebody who can know, oh, this is a makam tar, this is a makam tameh. But if it's a cheresh, sheita, and a katan, then they don't have the das to be mavdil to put bedavka in a makam tar. Okay, now we have a big gap, because between pasuk tes and pasuk yud zayin, we have the dinim of tuma. What's going to make a person tameh, and so on and so forth. We only get back to the dim of the paraduma in 8 psukim later. So, and now we're holding it in pasuk yud zayin. So in pasuk yud zayin, we go back to the idea of the efer hapara, which we've left off. Before, we just said we leave it off. Why? Because remember, strangely enough, that the way that chukas, the idea, is expressed, is that the Pora Aduma is an act in and of itself, and it does not relate to Tuma. Zot Chukat HaTorah is that there's this special thing called a Pora Aduma. It doesn't say right off, if somebody is Tuma, use a Pora Aduma. It teaches you that there's a special Chayk in the Torah, which is the din of Pora Aduma. Then after, it tells, okay, take the ashes, put them down. Thank you. Now what? Now we move on to another topic. The other topic is, what happens if somebody becomes tameh? So after we describe the dinim of tumas meis, then we say, oh, now you should take for this tameh person, v'lakach la tameh, me afar sreifat hapara, which you had previously been meniach. So we have this big gap. When it says over here, v'lakhu, who exactly are the v'lakhu? So the Mishnah says in Parah like this, Hakok sheirim lekadesh chutz v'cheresh shota v'katan. So anybody who is the shayach to, at least he's tahar, so he is able to do the act of kiddush. Now kiddush, here there's a little bit of an issue between Rashi and Tosfos, because Rashi uses the lashon that he's going to put the mayim on the efer. He's called that kiddush, whereas Tosfos points out throughout Maseches Parah, it's all about putting the efer on the mayim, not the mayim on the efer. This is a big sugya in how to understand the alav. The Tosfos understands the alav does not mean al hamayim. Alav means for the person. Okay, but in any event, anybody can do this, except for cheresh sheita v'katan. And Rabbi Yehuda is makshir a katan. He says just the opposite. The katan is kosher, but an isha or an androgynous is puzzle. So now let's see where we get that from, because it's really quite beautiful. My time at the Rabbanan. So why did the Rabbanan and the Mishnah, why did they say that Akok Sher and Lekadosh Chutz B'Cheresh Shet V'Kat? Because they say, look, the pasuk is continuing on from where it was, right? V'lakhu Latame. Who's the V'lakhu? The same people in the last pasuk that we darshan, which was pasuk Tes. And in Pasuk Tes, remember, we pasuled exactly the Cheir Shait of a cotton because they do not have a das to be meniach b'mokam tor, because they're not sufficiently sensitive to what it means to be meniach specifically in a mokam tor. Fine. So then the same people, hanach to pasulach ba'asifa, the same people that I mentioned back in Pasuk Tes when I was talking about collecting the ashes and putting them down, those are the ones that I'm now taking up the narrative here. So they should be v'lakhu. Now remember those ashes that they put down. Now take some of them from the afar tzrifat ha-chatad and mix them with water and sprinkle them on the guy who's tameh. Fine. So hanach to pasi l'cho ba'asifa, pasi l'cho b'kiddush. V'hanach da akshar l'cho ba'asifa, akshar l'cho b'kiddush. We're talking about exactly the same people. And that's why I'm telling you, everybody is kosher except for chereshet v'katan. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says, excuse me, how could you view this Pasuk Yud Zayin as an ongoing flow from Pasuk Tes? In Pasuk Tes, it talks about a Lashon Yochid, V'hiniach. And in Pasuk Yud Zayin, it says V'lakhu. Now, how all of a sudden did the same person who was an individual suddenly split into two people and now he's V'lakhu? Obviously, if we're going to continue the Pasuk, we have to use an antecedent that matches the exact noun that we had used before. So if you're telling me v'lakhu, then it means somebody else. But dafka, not the people that you said before. That's the whole point, says Rabbi Yehuda. Brilliant, right? So in kein lemakra v'lakach, by v'lakhu. Therefore, it must mean to tell you that it's exactly the opposite. Here it's coming to tell me that they means even the katan that I said was possible before when it came to being ma'asef the afara para and putting it down b'makom tahar. He is kosher to take some of it and to mix it, but kiddush, to mix it together with the mayim. So then how do I know, even though an isha, she was kshera for the asifa, that she's not kosher over here? Because it says v'natan, v'lo v'natna. So as Tosis points out, usually that wouldn't mean a point, right? Because we always use Lashon Zachar to include Zachar or Nekeva. But the point over here is that since the whole idea was that we use the V'lakhu, so then by putting the V'natan, we're coming to Tgufa, coming to tell me in Lashon Yochid, we're coming to tell me something specific, and that means it shall be a male. But if we use V'natnu B'lashon Rabim, then it could have meant a male or a female, you see. So brilliantly, we also flip it in such a way that allows us to stipulate we only want a male. So therefore, it's exactly the opposite of what we had said before. Before we said that the Chereshet V'Katan are Pasul and the Isha is kosher. And over here, the Katan is kosher and the Isha is not kosher. So it's a complete flip, according to Rabbi Yehuda, from the pasuk that we said before. Beautiful. So how did the Rabbanan answer that? I mean, it's true that it's not matching. It's not a matching pronoun. It should have said v'lakach. Say the Rabbanan, because the Torah had no choice. Because ikat of rachmana v'lakach v'natan. Look, if it wouldn't have made that distinction, and it would have just said v'lakach v'natan, then the mashmaut would have been hava mina ad to shokel chad v'yoyev chad. I would have said you need the same guy who takes the offer, and he is the one who mixes them with the mayim. Kotzav rachmana v'lakhu. Therefore, it's telling me it doesn't matter. You can have any people that you want. Generally speaking, somebody can bring the ashes. Then the act of kiddush is done separately. And ikat rachmana v'lakhu v'natnu, which is what you're suggesting, that the v'natan is there specifically to exclude the isha. No. Because if it would have said v'lakhu v'natnu, I would have said, no. We were right the first time when we say you need to have the same person that is doing the asifa, that's going to be doing the kiddush. But the difference is, I would have thought you need two people to do this, the asifa, and the same two people to do the kiddush. Therefore, katav rachmana v'lakhu v'natan, nothing says it more clearly than changing the pronoun. So they bring, he puts, okay, so obviously it's not the same guy, right? Because he certainly didn't change from being two people into one people. So therefore, it means that it's not important to us. It could be two people that do that, one person does that, a fidu shakli tre, v'yoyv chad, everything is now kosher. Okay, so then according to the Rabbanan, what we have over here is just a din of mashma memela, because we're not flipping what we said before. On the contrary, we're continuing what we said before, and we're darshaning only the idea that you shouldn't think you need the same people to do it. Bashenkein, I'll leave it to Rabbi Yehuda. This is a beautiful, the best example we've had so far of a flip. So this pasuk is a mashma motzi midei mashma because of the change in the pronoun. Okay, now let's go on to the next pasuk. Pasuk Yud Ches. So again, depending on how you learn pasuk Yud Zayin, the flip in Yud Ches is going to be in the opposite direction. So now when we move on to Yud Zayin, we find that it says, V'lakach ezov v'taval b'mayim ish tahor. Oh my gosh. So we're doing it again. So we've got an ish tahor. So now, according to Rabbanan, they said in the pasuk before that the isha was kshera, but the katan was not. So then, according to them, the ish comes to tell me, not the isha, who was previously kosher. Because it can't be coming to tell me the katan, because we already knew the katan in the pasuk before, you see. So the previous pasuk is mechayev you to learn ish means ish v'lo isha, according to Rabbanan. And then, when it says tahor, it's coming dafka to tell me the lahakshira takatan. Because over there, we used the idea of ish tahor. We said that that's coming, that's in the pasuk all the way back before the dinim of tuma in pasuk tes. So there we said it comes to include a zar and an isha. So according to Rabbanan, that was also true in the next pasuk, because they held that the next pasuk was not a change because of the change in the pronoun number. Okay, so therefore, the same idea that's here can't be coming to tell me the same thing. It can't be coming to tell me something I already know, namely that a zar and an isha are kosher, because why wouldn't it be? So therefore, over here, it has to be a flip. And therefore, it's coming goofy to tell me that it's not a woman and that the katan is kosher. And according to Rabbi Yehuda said that a moment ago in the pasuk before we said that the isha is not kosher and the katan is kosher. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, it comes to flip it. Ish comes to tell me, but not a katan, who up till this point was kosher. And tahor comes to tell me that even though before we said the isha was psula, here the isha is kshera. So you see very clearly this idea of mashma motzi miyad mashma. Ask the Gemara, just hold on 1 second here. What about the Mishnah? The Mishnah in Parah says, Hakol ksherim lahazot chutz mitumtum ve'androgynous ve'isha, and the katan, sheyesh bo da'at, isha misayato umazeh. If a katan has enough das to do what he's doing, and he knows what he's doing, so then the woman can help him by holding the water, but he has to do the actual hazoya. Now, over here it says, beferish, that the isha is not kasher, and the most she can do is to be misayat, and the katan actually can be maza. So how exactly is the Mishnah going to work and pretend that Rabbi Yehuda agrees with this Mishnah? I don't see Rabbi Yehuda saying is opening his mouth over here. I mean, how come Rabbi Yehuda doesn't open his mouth? Lo parig Rabbi Yehuda. So apparently Rabbi Yehuda actually would agree. The way we were understanding it, we were medayik that according to Rabbi Yehuda, since it's a mashma motz bidei mashma, he would have to say that the isha is kshera and the katan was actually pasul. So how does the Mishnah just talk as if it's l'kulei alma? Amar Abaye, look, once we've established, I mean, anybody who works it out can see that the complexity of the drushes here are mechayev you to read the entire Parshas Chukas at the beginning of Mar Darshaning Mashma Miyemetzi Miyad Mashma Mashma Memela. So since we've already said that that's a given, we do not have to analyze each point once we've established an initial point. That's the whole idea. Normally, when you're darshaning, you would need to express, okay, this is what I hold about this. No, this is what I hold about this, right? So then we would expect that when it comes to the closing pasuk, a pasuk Yud Ches. So if there's a Mishnah, and the Mishnah is going to be telling me, how do I understand that pasuk? So Rabbi Yehuda says, no, that's not the way I understand it. But the whole beauty of chukas, the way that Ula sets it up for us, says Abaya, that that's the point. Since each thing can now be understood based on a starting condition, the starting condition is all that we need. Having established Rabbi Yehuda's opinion as to the din before, we know what Rabbi Yehuda holds. We don't have to have in the Mishnah Rabbi Yehuda telling me I disagree. Because once you told me that it's a motzi miyad mashma, a mashma motzi miyad mashma, so then obviously Rabbi Yehuda, Mamela Polik, obviously Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. What do I need to know every single deal? It's clear to me that he disagrees. And now we close the drasha. V'hizah ha-tahor al ha-tameh. What is the meaning of ha-tahor? Because how all of a sudden would he not be tahor? We've been talking about the tahor 10 times until now. So therefore, ha-tahor mentioned in this context means that he's only now becoming tahor. So he actually was tameh, meaning that he's still a tful yom. That's how some learn. Others learn that the idea over here is Michlal Shu Tameh, that in certain ways he's considered to be Tameh. So in other words, in terms of Kachem and in terms of Truma, he's Tameh, which tells me that he's a Tful Yom. Mashenkin over here, he's called Tahar. Or some learn that Tahar means he's Tahar only in terms of some things. What is that? The Gabi Meister Sheni. Well, over there we were Derish, that the moment that he comes out, he's able to eat, but not truma, but he can eat Meister Sheni. Then he has to wait till the evening to eat the truma. Then he has to wait till the eighth day until he's able to be eating kachim because he's mechusar kippurim. So the idea of calling somebody just tahar when it's not necessary is to tell me exactly that. He's just tahar. So even according to Rashi, he's just tahar means he's just becoming tahar, and therefore he's a tful yom. Or according to these other pshatim, he's just starting. He has the absolute minimal level of tire that's required for the minimal dinim, which would be that he's a tful yom and he's kosher to his mutter to be able to eat meiser sheni. So tahar mikhlal shehu tamei, which teaches us that a tful yom is kosher b'pora, and of course this is not a small issue, because as we know, the two big areas that have been interrelated since the beginning of this Masechet, in the Kasher Asa Bayom HaZeh, the Kohen and his activity with the Parah Duma, the Kohen and his activity with Yom Kippur, and the interrelationship between those dinim, and how it is that they are dealing with the Chet HaEgel and so on, is also Nogea the Tzedukim fundamentally. And it's the problems with the tzedukim that we had back on Yom HaKippurim that forced us to make the Kohen Gadol take a shvuah that he's not going to do the Avedas HaKteres like the tzedukim. And the same thing is true. Our entire relationship to the Parah Aduma is predicated around this one diak of Tamei Melamechu, Tahar Melamechu Tamei, that the tzedukim disagree with, and that has created all of the halakas about the special kedusha and taira of the dinim of the Parah Aduma, which completely relates back to the dinim of where the Kohen is. Because even the place where the Kohen is going to be, we listed in our Mishnah together with the Kohen Gadol, Yom HaKippurim, that over there, he goes to the Lishkas HaEvan because all of the Kalim needed to be Klei Avonim and Klei Gelolim and so on. Why? Because of this pasuk. It's not that there's an innate Chumrah on Parah, Adarabba, there's an innate Kula on Parah, because of which it becomes more similar. Of course, this brings us exactly to the Chukah Chukah that we just learned, where we find yet another connection of the Inyanim of Parah Aduma and of the Yom HaKippurim. So there's the same type of concept of what is required. Is it Kohen Gadol? Is it Zgan? Is it a normal Kohen? Does he need his begadim? As found Lagabe the Parah Aduma, as we have found throughout the Masechet, and it's becoming deeper and deeper as we go along, we see this underlying interrelationship. Omer Rabasi, you should know that Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish did their darndest to try to figure out how you could have a consistent limud in Parah Aduma. Because, I mean, it's really disturbing that, like, each pasuk seems to be coming to flip what the din was of the previous pasuk. And then, like, you never really know. I mean, is that what it's all about? Or is it sometimes mashma memela? And it's coming to affect a din that will define all of the concepts of Pura. They tried so hard to make it consistent that we should either darshan each one as a motzi midei mashma, or each one as a mashma memela, or to have a consistent way of defining the set of things that requires X, the set of things that requires Y, the set of things that requires Z, and so on. And those were quite complex sets. Some things requiring a zgan, some things requiring a kohen gadol, some things requiring a kohen, some things being kosher bizarre, some things kosher b'isha, some things possible b'isha, some things kosher b'katan b'pasol b'androgen, and so on and so forth. I mean, it's like maddening. And they gave up. You know what happens when a fox walks through a field that doesn't have anything in it? It's just a field that is a stam near. There's nothing there. What do you get out of it? You're a fox. You're looking for something to eat. I'll tell you what you get out of it. Your feet are all covered with dirt. That's what you get out of it. That's basically what they got out of it. They couldn't come up with one shot that was different than anything that we said. And boy, did they try. Ella Amre, they say, we give up. Whatever. Some of these are mashma, what's it, mashma. Some of these are mashma mamela. You go knock your head against the wall. We're not doing it anymore. Okay. So then, Tani, Tana, Kameda Rabbi Yochanan. Tana, who said over Bryce, says he said in front of Rabbi Yochanan that you should know all shchita is kosher bizar. The only time that we find a kosher, a zar being puzzled for shchita is paraduma. Basically, agreeing with what we said over here, that it's like Rav was saying, that it means Elazar and only Elazar. Omale Rabbi Yochanan, get out of here and teach that to the birds. Puk Tani Levra, there's no such thing. I disagree. Lo Matzinu Shchita Bizar Psul. Whoever heard of such a thing, that Shchita should be kosher, should be possible with a Zar? Man, oh man, boy, Rabbi Yochanan's pretty tough about this one. I mean, not only does he not listen to the person who's telling him over the Bryces, and that's his job. The guy's getting paid to tell me over Bryces, and you say, get out of here and teach it to the birds. So not only does Rabbi Yochanan not pay any attention to the Brysa, he doesn't even listen to his own Rebbe, who actually holds that. I feel the Rabbi Lotzai. He refuses to listen to anybody. The Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yotzad. Rabbi Yochanan himself quoted Rabbi Shimon to say Shchita's Pora Bizar Psula. So now somebody tells him this in the face. I never heard of such a thing. Ridiculous. Get out of here. Okay? So therefore, even when he said that over, he said, Ani Omer Kshera, but I disagree, even though he says it's possible. I cannot accept that there's such a concept, Bichlal. Throughout Kala Tarakula, we're taking the most chomer thing and we're saying it's kosher bizarre. Now all of a sudden, the Par Aduma is supposed to bizarre. I don't buy it. Okay. Now, the next thing that we got to in the Mishnah was the Kohen Gadol, who is now coming to his par and doing the Vidui Sheni. And in the Vidui Sheni, he mentions not only that I was depending on the Lashon, obviously, Rabbi Meir Rabbanan, whether it's Chatasi Avisi Pashati, or whether it's the Avisi Pashati V'Chatati. But in any event, the first time he said Ani Uveti, and this time he says, and Beis Aaron Am Kodshecha. So how come he didn't say that before? Ma'ishlam Avidu Rishon Delo Amar Uvnei Aaron Am Kodshecha, and Dafka here Bevidu Sheni, that he does say B'nei Aaron Am Kodshecha. I mean, if he's going to be anyway saying the vidui, so say the vidui and everybody, like openly. The whole, why can't we have two times vidui? The Rambam says the kolam marbe, the same lashon that we have by other dinim of Peh, you speak kolam marbe l'sapra b'tiyas mitzrayim. Kolam marbe l'zvadais is also mishubach. So say it twice. What's the big deal? Tana devei Rabbi Shmuel, kachi midat hadin notenet. Because, look, it makes so much sense. Tzadasvara. A person who's going to be saying vidui for somebody else should take care of himself first. So mutav yavo zakai v'yechaper al hachayav, a person who is himself tohar and he's already said vidui in dan tshuva, he should come now to be mechaper on the base Aaron am kedoshecha. V'al yavo chayav, but while he himself is still being mizvada for himself, he should mention them together. It makes more sense this way. V'al yavo chayav v'yechaper al hachayav. And now a word from our capitan. Next thing the Kohen Gadol does after the second vidui is he shechs the par, and as we said before, he hands it over to somebody else to be mamarek, right? And he has to do the Kabbalah Sadam, so he does that very quickly, and he's mekabel the Mizrak Adamo. And now, as we're going to see why we do this, he has to run in to bring the Keteres. So the blood is not going to be sprinkled until after the Haktaras Haktaras, and we can't let the blood just sit there. So he's got to give it to someone who's going to be stirring that blood to prevent it from congealing, because otherwise it won't be kosher for Zrikas Adam of the Park. He gives it to somebody to be Mamares, and this person is standing on the fourth row of flooring in the Heichal. Now, that's what it says, but as we'll see, that's not what it means. It means the fourth row from the Heichal, and the guy is actually standing in the Azora, not in the Heichal, or perhaps in the Ulam, that we'll see in a moment. And the reason he does that is Kedesh Lo Yikrosh. We don't want the blood to harden while he's busy bringing the Ketores. Not al machata, the next thing he does, he has to go up himself. He grabs a shovel and he goes up to the top of the Mizbeach in order to get the gecholim, the coals in English. So in order to get those coals, and he's supposed to be bringing, it says himself, these things in, he has to do this as well. So he goes up to the top of the Mizbeach, he clears off the coals that are on the top because he has to get, specifically, he has to get the type of coals that are gachalei esh. We're darshan, the word gachalei esh means that they're coals that are not currently burning up with a big flame, but they're so hot that they are like surrounded by this blue flame. As in order to do that, he has to get the inside coals. He takes the mukalota pnimiyot, the ones that are not burning mamish anymore, so there's not like a big shalhevet, but they have this fire on them, gachalei esh, and he comes down off of the mizbeach, and he puts the machata on the roved haravi sheba'azara. Now here it says ba'azara, not nehechal. It's going to turn out, according to most of the mefarshim, that this is the same location that we were talking about before. It's the same place that the Mamaris is standing. On a normal day, when you would bring up for the Keteres HaBoker and the Keteres Achrei HaTzoraim, you wouldn't use gold to put into a fire. You would scoop it up with a regular, I mean, beautiful, it's made out of silver, take it off of the Mizbeach, and then pour all of that coal into something more valuable, into the gold. And that way the gold wasn't damaged and wasn't eaten away. But today, on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol actually uses a machata of pure gold. Hayom choteh b'shel zahav, uba haya machnis, he would carry that same machata into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. We do not do anything that makes things harder for the Kohen Gadol. We make things easier. B'cho yom choteh b'shel arba'at kavim, u'ma'are letok shloshet kavim. Normally, we would want to make sure that the machta is filled absolutely to the brim because it's a derech kovet shalmala to fill it to the brim. So we would use a four kav shovel, and then when he pours it into the golden shovel from the silver shovel, he uses a smaller shovel, which means that some of the coal is going to fall to the side, but it's going to be brimming. Whereas hayom chote b'shloshet kavim u'bayam achnes, he does not flip it into another shovel. Rabbi Yossi Omer, well, yes, you're right, but your numbers are wrong. B'choyom chote b'shel sa'ah. Actually, he usually has six kav, not four kav, and he pours six kav into three kav. So half of it basically is going to be lost, but it'll be filled to overbrimming. Hayom chote b'shloshet kavim uba hayamachnis. That part I agree with you on. Furthermore, every day it was a heavy shovel with thick walls, but today it was made with thin metal to make it easier for him to carry. Hayom Kala. Usually it had a short handle and he would have to support it with his wrist. Hayom Aruka, today the shovel was long and he could support it by putting it all along his arm and pressing it under his arm. B'chol Yom Hayta Zahava Yarok, it was usually made out of yellow gold. But today on Yom Kippur, Hayom Adom, Divrei Rabbi Menachem, because that was a very valuable kind of gold, or others learned, and the Mefarshei Mishnah learned that maybe it's because it's supposed to be similar to the Dam HaPar, which is going to be brought at the same time. And fine. So this is Rabbi Menachem Pshita, and apparently because of that, the Rambam doesn't bring this halacha, because it seems to be that the Mishnah is saying it's a Das Yochid. B'chol Yom Makriv Pras B'Shachriz a Pras Ben Arba'in, V'Yom Mosif Molo Chofnav. So usually, remember, we always bring half of a mana, which is quite a bit, right? The mana is 100, is 100 dinner. Half of it in the morning, half of it in the afternoon. Today, besides that, which we have the Keteris B'chol Yom, you have to add the Keteris Lefnei V'Lefnim, and that depends, how much is that? That depends on the size of the Kohen Gadol. I mean, remember with Mr. Watermelon, I mean, he had one heck of a Melo Chofnav, so it would depend really how big the Kohen Gadol was. B'chol Yom Hayta Daka, the Keteris is always Daka, because it says Keteris Daka. So when it repeats the din of Daka, as we'll see later in the Gemara, it needs to be Daka Mina Daka, and we marzer it to be once again, make it even finer, as we'll see in the Gemara on Yom HaKippurim. B'chol Yom Kohanim Olim B'Mizrach HaShor Kevesh V'Yordim B'Maravot. So normally it's a bigger kovet that we do not allow a kohen. The kohen is coming around, he's like moving to the side, you know, and all of a sudden move to the middle of the road, and now you're a road hog. You stick where you are, everything is done b'tzniut, and so on and so forth. You come up on the right side, you come down on the left side, and you don't bump into anybody and make a big thing of yourself. Over here, on the contrary, we want to show the chashivas of the Kohen Gadol, and we want to show the chashivas of Am Yisrael that they have a entry into the Beis HaMikdash, and B'davka, you walk straight down the middle, straight up the middle every time. So Rabbi Yehuda says, no, this is not a din in Yom Kippur. This is a din in Kohen Gadol. Le'olam Kohen Gadol, Ola be'emtza ve'yored be'emtza. B'chol Yom Kohen Gadol mekadosh yod v'raglav min ha'kiyor. Normally we use the kiyor for all of Kiddush Yadayim v'raglayim there, but today we have a special golden kli, and he uses that, min ha'kiton shel zahav. Some learn that this is talking not about the initial Kiddush, which is still done from the Kiyor. This is talking about this special Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim, which is added to do two of each if you're going to be changing your begadim. Remember, one before the tefillah, one after the tefillah, machlokes the Rebbe Meir, chachomim with your clothes on, without your clothes, and the second one with your, so on, just to remind you. And that is what it's referring to when it says he used the Kiton Shozav. I would say all of it was from Kiton Shozav. So we'll see, Tosfos later points out there is no din that you absolutely have to use the Kiyor as long as you're using a Klisharis over here, it's fine. Rabbi Yudai, man, a Kohen Gadol is always Mekadosh Yad HaVeragel within a Kiton Shozav. That was a special Hashivas for him. B'chol Yom Ayusham Arba Ma'arachot. We used to have every day, as we'll go through in the Gemara, why we would need four different Ma'arachos on the Mizbeach. But today we add one more for the Keteris Lefnei V'Lefnim Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yossi says, no, there were only three every day. Today is four. Rabbi Yehuda says there were only two every day, and today there are three, all to be explained in the Gemara later.